Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gokaldas Exports Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Binay Sarda from Ernst & Young LLP. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Renju. Good afternoon to all the participants on this call. Before we proceed to the call, let me remind you that the discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. It must be viewed in conjunction with our business risks that could cause future result performance or achievement to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. Please note that we have mailed the results and the presentation, and the same are available on the company's website. In case if you have not received the same, you can write to us, and we'll be happy to send the same over to you. To take us through the results and answer your questions today, we have the top management of Gokaldas Exports Limited, represented by Mr. Sivaramakrishnan Ganapathi, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Sathyamurthy, Chief Financial Officer. We'll start the call with a brief overview of the quarter gone past and then conduct Q&A session. With that said, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Siva. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Binay. Good morning, everyone. Happy to have you at our earnings call for the financial year of 2023. Global markets continue to be volatile, with central banks continuing to wage a war on high inflation by maintaining high interest rates. Post-COVID quantitative easing, followed by quantitative tightening in the United States, has unleashed a whiplash in the economy. The supply chain disruption in CY 2021, that is calendar 2021, and early 2022, coupled with robust post-COVID demand facilitated by governments pump priming their economies, resulted in brands ordering excess inventory. Higher inflation also meant that prices of goods went up while volume growth was modest. Subsequent easing of the supply chain and a tight money supply led to a reversal of the situation. Brands were stuck with higher inventory and have been working on liquidating it over the last six to nine months. For Gokaldas Exports, this meant that the year started with a strong revenue and profit growth resulting from a robust order book and effective capacity utilization. The second half of the year saw muted volume in line with market conditions. Major customers were consciously liquidating excess inventory holdings and dealing with sluggish retail market. We managed our operations very well, consistently growing our operating margin and delivered improved PAT quarter-on-quarter. Our ability to effectively balance capacity with orders on hand and execution excellence played very well in delivering 25% revenue growth and 48% net profit growth year-on-year. For context, the Indian apparel exports for FY 2023 grew by about 1%. Our EBITDA margin grew by 116 basis points over the previous year after providing 23 crores for ESOP charges, indicating a superior operating performance. We generated cash from operations of about 296 crores during the year, securing a healthy financial base for the company. The company continues to build on its financial strength and currently has cash net of debt of 333 crores. While part of the reduction is due to business volume, tight business management helps the company unlock working capital. Our ROCE remains high at 27%. We continue to closely monitor potential macroeconomic risks and take measures to mitigate them by focusing on strengthening customer relationships and service excellence. We are vigilant to concerns such as ongoing military conflict, global monetary tightening, and China's economic trajectory. Our immediate focus is on maintaining exceptional service delivery while navigating potential short-term challenges. We maintained a high on-time and in-full delivery metrics, endearing ourselves to customers. The long-term prospects for the industry remain intact, with continuing shift of global sourcing away from China, supplier consolidation towards efficient and well-capitalized players, and supply-side instabilities in several countries. favorable currency, PLI and FTAs with key markets should drive the company to a strong future. In these egregious times, the company operated with a lot of determination while constantly assessing risks and above all showing courage. As an agile, high-performance and entrepreneurial organization, we thrive on such disruptions, taking advantage of the opportunity such challenges throw at us. Seizing new opportunities, grabbing market share, expanding our manufacturing footprint, investing in productivity improvements, staying razor sharp on customer delivery metrics, we emerged as an indispensable part of the global value chain. While the global economy is anemic at the moment, the good news is it can only get better over a period of time. We expect the demand situation to improve in the second half of the year. We are committed to gaining market share and preparing ourselves for business growth when market conditions turn more favorable. Our capacity addition is also in line with this. As an organization, we are future ready. I thank you for listening and would be happy to address questions that you may have.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Gunjan Kabra from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. And first of all, congratulations for reporting such great numbers in a very difficult time. So I had a couple of questions. First is, like when we interact with domestic players also here, there is some slowdown. And in the export market, of course, there's volatility and slowdown there also. So while you have always guided H2 to be, demand starts picking up, so how are you seeing the markets right now in the near term, say for one or two quarters? Also wanted to understand the why we have reported steady numbers in terms of sales per quarter and quarter. So wanted to understand if we have added any new customers or are we in talks with any customer that can also, you know, help increasing the revenue moving forward when the business environment is a little slow.
Okay, thank you, Gunjan. We had always guided that the second half of FY23 would be somewhat muted, over the last 1 year, and I think it played out as we had guided. We had also indicated that first half of FY24 will also remain somewhat similar in terms of the market demand conditions, with the second half of FY24, is when we expect growth to pick up. And I think we are maintaining that situation at the moment. We see that the economic conditions haven't dramatically improved. It has remained where it is. However, we feel that come calendar 2024, we should start seeing an upward trajectory because most of the inventory would have been liquidated. And year on year, France would see growth on a muted base of calendar 23. Which itself means that they will start coming back to buying more from us. So starting Q3, we should start seeing some upward trajectory. And we are hoping that we will stay prepared for the incremental traction that we shall start seeing from then on. This is based on what we see at the moment, how we read the economy at the moment. As for the next question on customer addition, we have just recently added two new customers, one US-based and one UK-based, and we are hoping that we shall be able to continue to grow with them. These are prestigious clients and clients with good business potential going forward, and we hope that we will be able to capitalize on this addition.
So for the revenue from the new customers will start coming in from this quarter, right? And it was not accounted in the previous quarter.
That is correct. They have just been acquired, so it will start playing out in FY24.
Okay. Also, sir, there's inventory getting depleted or getting lower a little by, you know, in the US. But anything from our customer specific point of view, what are they guiding in terms of revenue growth to you? I mean, if they, how is that scenario? Only from the, like, we know of the global data and everything, but according to that customer specific, if we have any guidance that, you know, you can maintain this growth rate, of how are they telling you in terms of inventory, and is that the problem getting solved faster, maybe because we supply to the bigger brands or something? So wanted to have that perspective from our customer specific point of view.
So it's a mixed bag. We supply to, you know, a number of customers, and different customers are at different stages in their own market handling situation, inventory situation, etc. So there are some customers who have liquidated quite a bit and still have some residual inventory to liquidate. Some of them have liquidated almost all of it and are, you know, hopefully they will start buying more once they start seeing the demand pick up. They are not ordering at the moment. They are maintaining a lower inventory to sales ratio at the moment. So it's mixed bag. At the moment, nobody is bullish. But I think the, you know, they are, I don't think they are very bearish either. So we will hopefully see, better, we will be able to read things better as a few more months pass by as to how confidently they'll come back, buying. The general trend seems to be that, you know, things are seemingly bottoming out, but let us see how it plays out.
Okay. And also, so this quarter we did, higher EBITDA margin, which is 13.4% around. So, do you think we can stretch this to the entire year, or is it just one quarter, or is it sustainable?
Good question. It is not sustainable. What happened in Q4 was that we had made excessive provisions on certain gratuity and employee-related cost items. This is based on certain assumptions. Keep in mind that we are extremely conservative when it comes to taking up accounting provisions. So we had over-provided in the first three quarters, which we kind of wrote back after making actuarial, evaluation of the employee benefit costs. So that's why there may be a bit of a higher margin being indicated in Q4. You should take the average for the year as an indicator.
Okay.
Thank you.
So thank you so much, and good luck for your future endeavors. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pujal.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Abhineet from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. If you can just highlight the status of various, capex that you are doing. Are they on track, and, when do we see revenues coming through?
So your voice faded out. Was your question, when will the capex start playing out in revenue terms? Was that the question?
Yeah. For both the team and Madhya Pradesh.
Okay. So the Madhya Pradesh unit, we anticipate it to start commercial production starting somewhere in June of 2023. So next month. We are hoping that it will clock about 50 odd crores in this financial year. The other unit, which is coming up in Tamil Nadu, we anticipate it to go live somewhere in September, which is the early third quarter. And, really its bigger contribution to revenue shall come in FY25. So in FY25, both of them put together, We should hopefully see about 300 crores of top line being contributed by both these projects.
And our thought of that Bangladesh JV, where do we stand right now?
So, most of the work has been done. The site has been identified and everything. We are just holding in a holding pattern there, waiting for signals of market turnaround before we start activating that capacity. So we're just waiting to see some improved traction before we start work there.
Okay. And lastly, on the margin side, you did indicate that 5.23 is a better indicator. But over a 2-3 years perspective, our earlier indication that we should improve by 50 basis point every year, that continues for the next few years?
So as I had indicated earlier, that you know we probably have about 1-1.5% EBITDA improvement opportunity going forward in a 2-3 year time frame. So I maintain that in the short term, based on demand supply situations, there may be some aberrations, especially when there are demand headwinds, there will be pricing pressure. There are short-term impacts like labor costs have gone up because minimum wages have gone up in Karnataka where bulk of our operations are, and the costs have gone up by 9-10%. So you know, we are offsetting that also through improved productivity. So there are those kind of short-term challenges. But the trajectory that we mentioned about EBITDA improvement of about 1.5% over a 2-3 year time frame will continue, you know, notwithstanding short-term aberrations, which we will anyway overcome.
Thank you, sir. Those were my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Nishit Shah from Ambika FinCap Consultants Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my questions. Congratulations on a very good set of number, and I think the presentation is very informative, and on the cost structure, the advantage of India, what has been presented is really helpful. My question is, Shiva, on industry tailwinds is so positive, and now that we are through with the so-called slowdown and all, can we expect over a normalized period a 20% growth for us now that you have capacities and all in place?
So thank you, Nishit. You know, normally in a normal period, a 20% growth is definitely possible, and that's definitely within the realm of what we will target. There will be short-term, you know, inability to do that over a few quarters because of demand-related headwinds. But in a normal period, what you mentioned is absolutely correct. That is what we are targeting. We will probably try to do better also, but you know, trying to do 20% is something which we will always endeavor to.
And secondly, on the margins, with rupee having depreciated, where do you see our margins? Is there a scope for improvement over the next 12 to 18 months?
So in the next 12 months, I won't be very sure, given the you know, demand situation, at least for the next 6 months. And whenever there is a demand headwind, you know, there will always be you know, an inability to increase prices, etc., right? On the contrary, there will be a pricing pressure. We are partially elevating that through better raw material prices and better production efficiencies at the moment. So improving margins will certainly happen, but I would say if we take a 3-year time frame, I am confident that we have the ability to improve the margins by about 1.5%, EBITDA margin by 1.5%.
And these new plants at MP and your other initiatives at Bangladesh, etc., should also help you improve margins, isn't it?
That is correct. However, the initial effect will be to drop the margins, but you know, since they will be small in relation to the rest of the business, it may not be very material. But as these plants, you know, start ramping up, the cost will be higher, so they may be negative for a brief while till they reach their proficiency level and start yielding margins. At a steady state, those new units will be more margin friendly than our existing business, given the cost structures in those zones.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my questions. All the best. Thank you very much for a very good presentation once again.
Thank you, Nikhil.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Rahul Mishra from RKL Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity and congratulations on a very good set of numbers in this difficult time. I have two questions. First, and I'm not talking about anything short term, I quite appreciate there are challenges in short term. But if I look at FY23 results as compared to FY22, our gross margins have actually fallen by gross margins have actually seen a decline, maybe also on account of prices and all. And we have also had employee cost issue because of the ESOP, so that has also gone up. And despite that, we have seen a 70 basis point improvement in margin. So if I look at this, I mean, if I look at efficiency which are there beyond the gross margin, it is almost like 400 basis points or more than that. So my question is that when things normalize, can we actually look at much more margin expansion than what we are guiding at 1.5% over 3 years? So that is question number one. And question number two is, finally, when do you expect the tax rate actually to go up? Because tax rate was supposed to go up in F23. It's good news that it has not gone up. But should we expect normalization of tax rate in FY24?
Okay. So you know, as far as the gross margin is concerned, it is a function of the product mix. So product mix changes sometimes can have a gross margin change, because gross margin is revenue minus the material cost. So you know, when we have high value products being produced, quite often we may see a lower gross margin but a superior EBITDA margin, because you know, the manufacturing effort for that may not be as high, but the gross margin number, you know, gross margin expressed as a percentage of sales would be, you know, would tend to fall because the raw material costs seemingly are high. So we are judicious. We try to maximize our bottom line rather than simply gross margin, you know, given our product mix basket. As far as your question on is there a potential to improve our EBITDA margin more than what I've guided, so there always exists opportunities, and we will always be exploring those opportunities to go for it. Let it play out. There are several variables that we deal with, including raw material prices, demand, supply, etc., etc. So it's very, you know, what I've given is an aggregate of, you know, various factors at play, but certainly we will endeavor to see if we can push the envelope more. As far as the tax structures, tax impact is concerned, from FY24 onwards, we will be having the full impact of taxes. The tax percentage should be 25.1% or 25.1% from FY24 onwards.
Okay, thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Amar from AlfAccurate. Please go ahead.
So thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, largely wanted to understand if the market, what I understand is that ours is a slightly premium products business versus the, you know, the knitting business, which is like, you know, at the low end of the pyramid. So, and normally what we see, even in the tough time, the luxury or relatively, you know, ultra luxury kind of a business does not get impacted and it revives faster. So is this a scenario for us also? And that is why we were less impacted relative to the industry?
Okay, good question. So, you know, for example, our ASP will be in the dollar, you know, in the range of $8-$10. So we are certainly high value, but not ultra high value. So what happens is that commodity products like, say, knitwear, etc., may see headwinds depending on the economic conditions. Ultra-luxury products, you know, may not see any headwinds regardless of market situations, but we don't produce those Gucci's and Armani's and all of that. We are in mass fashion, premium products out there. So, you know, we are in that sweet spot somewhere in between where volumes exist, where we can produce cost effectively, where we can drive production efficiency. The demand for our products have not been as hit, and I think the probability of it recovering a bit faster could be better.
Okay. And sir, like, you know, as you are indicating that second half would be significantly better than first half, but do we see that the revival should start from the, let's say, sequential revival should start from the second quarter onward, or?
Okay. It's very, very difficult to predict anything for various reasons. One, nobody is any wiser on the economy. Second, brands on whom we are dependent on demand have also started ordering closer to date, given that their ability to predict demand has also been weakened, and they are unwilling to ramp up their inventory until they actually start seeing huge traction in terms of demand. So my anticipation is that we should start seeing growth momentum pick up from the third quarter. I don't think it will come earlier than that, but it's very, very difficult to predict. Who knows? If things start looking up, it may happen sooner, but I'm not going out there predicting things happening sooner. So third quarter is more likely.
Okay. Perfect, sir. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital Management LLP. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. First question is just on the nature of conversations and the number of conversations you are now having with customers. If you could throw some light as to what is the texture of that now versus how it was 1 year ago and 2 years ago, and whether those conversations have suddenly picked up in terms of number.
Thank you, Pulkit. It's a very good question. The nature of conversations, again, when I say 2 years ago, during COVID was highly uncertain. Post-COVID, there was some buoyancy. But at the moment, the nature of conversations vary from customer to customer. There are some customers who have liquidated inventories who are quite hopeful of demand picking up from spring 24, and are hinting that they will come back and start buying from the third quarter onwards. Because in the third quarter, we produce for spring of 24 and fourth quarter for summer of 24. The general consensus of brand seems to be that by fourth quarter, there should be market should reasonably stabilize that summer of 24. So we will have to see that. In the interim, brands are playing it close to their chest. They are indicating that they will come closer to date to buy more based on demand traction. And the good news is that some of the brands have actually come and followed through on it and have placed near-term orders as well, indicating that some amount of traction that they are seeing or that they are predicting. It's a bit all over the map, but that's how it is happening in the U.S. UK-based customers are actively talking, waiting for the FTA to happen, and many of them are waiting in the wings. Once the FTA happens, they would start taking advantage of it. And with that in mind, there are quite a few of them are having aggressive conversations. The market conditions in UK also seems to be similar, but duty delta plays a big role. So it all depends on where the customers are located, but at the end of the day, the mood, I would say, has it's not exuberant for sure. It was quite muted. It is slightly improving. There is a bit of an optimism, I would think, but it's yet to really translate into significant numbers at the moment.
Understood. So are there a lot more plant visits being done by various new customers now to kind of keep the work ready and then press the trigger if they choose to do so later? Is that how they're approaching it?
Yes. We have considerable number of visits to our factories and our design showrooms.
Understood. Secondly, these two new customers that we added, UK and US, just trying to understand what was their individual thought process to give orders to you. I mean, is it more driven by China plus one? Are they even willing to pay a premium to kind of source from India, or they're trying to get it cheaper? So what was their individual thought process?
So both of them are a bit fashionable brands and a little premium in the market. So they have not seen as much of a negative traction as many other mass market brands have. The UK one is motivated by FTA, so they're clearly out here to take advantage of the situation. They like our ability to handle designs and our quality of production. The American one is clearly coming here because they like our quality, and they haven't seen as much of a headwind in their sales. So they are, you know, they're just adding quality vendors, and we have become one of them.
Got it. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Apurva from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you very much for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on your commentary. So, like, as we understand, the growth lever also comes from the wallets are increasing from our clients. And if I look at our clientele, so like likes of Gap, Zara or H&M, so they are very significantly large clients, and our contribution or our revenue to them would be hardly significant. So I am just wondering why that part is not mentioned in the commentary, case we are just focusing on the market outlook and the, like, whatever is happening in the broader market, but not on the wallet share. Can you throw some light on that part?
So what happens is, when the overall buy from a brand comes down by, say, 25% or 30%, the higher quality producers may not see as much of a drop, because we will be grabbing wallet share from weaker suppliers in the ecosystem. Having said all of that, it is so wallet share may grow, but in absolute terms, from our own base, we may not be able to grow, because the volume of buy from the brands have actually come down. So it may be inappropriate for them to have certain vendors grow while other vendors take a deeper cut. So while everybody will decline YOY, there may be, you know, a vast differential between declines across the segment. But it always accompanies with a wallet share gain. And in such difficult market times, wallet share gains are more easier for us to attain, because if the demand is down, they typically tend to shut down a few suppliers or significantly reduce the outlay for certain suppliers. So we have actually gained wallet share in some of our larger customers.
So got it. So that was my point. Okay, currently this might be a very favorable period for us. So as a company, what steps we are taking to garner more wallet share, and that would help us to sustain. So without we are adding a customer or not, but at least that would, the existing customer base would give us some sort of a revenue visibility or growth because of incremental wallet share.
So that's exactly the point I'm saying. That if you look at the buy from brand, they have fallen by about 20% or 25% in many cases. Whereas our revenue in the, let's take the fourth quarter as an example, fourth quarter revenue has fallen by about 10%. So our drop of 10% in relation to, you know, the brand buying 25% less clearly indicates that we are gaining wallet share. The specifics will depend on the individual brand, but across the board, we have gained wallet share. And the reason we have gained is because we have simply executed well. We have ensured on-time delivery. We have ensured quality throughout the past period, and been very, very consistent in this. Once we do that, we automatically are in a, you know, position to grab incremental orders at the cost of others. We have taken orders from China and Vietnam. We have taken orders which were hitherto being done by others in India, and so on and so forth. So that endeavor continues, and we have done that across most of the brands.
Got it. And so final thing on the Bangladesh. So as you mentioned, we are waiting for more clarity on the market conditions. So do we expect it to start in this year, or again it would be linked to the market condition only? Because Bangladesh can open a route for UK, so, or maybe the entire Europe market. So that's why we were curious whether, irrespective of market, and it's a very small capex compared to your overall balance sheet size. So why we are slightly conservative on that Bangladesh part?
Okay, so the, you know, Bangladesh, keep in mind that Bangladesh also has a lot of capacity. So you know, we want the market conditions to improve and time it appropriately. I believe that we should be doing that somewhere, you know, we should initiate the work in FY24, and you know, it's only a matter of taking a call on the timing. We are keeping a close watch on it, and we are also talking to some customers. Basis that, we will take a final call somewhere during the year.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Amruta from Wealth Managers India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I have two questions. First is regarding the other income. So in the past 3 quarters, it has increased a lot. So what is the reason behind that? Is it the improvement in the cash balance that we have? And my second question is regarding the knitwear facility. So how is our the customers, how is the traction with our existing customers in the woven category? Even they have knitwear products. So how are they taking our capex? And are we looking to add more customers there?
Yeah, with reference to the other income, it is primarily on account of our investment income coming from the mutual funds and the fixed deposits. On account of our cash surplus, whatever we have, it has been deployed in the mutual fund, and that income is being reflected under the other income.
Coming to the knit versus woven demand, I think the knitwear demand is a bit more muted than woven demand. I am speaking at very macro level. Again, situation will change from brand to brand, but at a macro level, that is the situation. For our knitwear unit, which is expected to come by September, we are hoping that the knit demand situation might improve by then. And we are also in advanced discussion with several customers to facilitate offtake of those products. So all of that is going on as we speak. But at an overall level, knit is going a bit slower than woven at the moment.
And Diglafi, how much time does it take for us to onboard a new customer, so the whole process, and for them to actually start the ordering activity after they are onboarded?
So it depends on the business situation. In a weak market situation, it could take up to a year. Sometimes it can take even 2 years, depending on the customer and their protocols. And in a strong market condition, when there is growth, many of the customers may be under intense pressure to ramp up volumes, and hence, you know, things may happen much sooner as well. And it can happen in 6 months at least. As far as the ramp up goes, it usually starts small in the first 2-3 quarters, and it takes over a year before we can start really seeing meaningful revenue of anywhere between 50 and 100 crores. Again, in a strong market situation, things can happen faster, depending on the customer.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Abhineet from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, you did indicate that there was an extra provision during 9 months which was written back now. What is that number, sir, if you can quantify?
It's about 6 crores.
Okay. And secondly, on the present raw material cost, what can be the max F24 revenue that the company can clock, sir?
Can you repeat the question? I didn't get it.
So at the present raw material prices, and you know, what could be the maximum F24 revenue that the company can clock?
F24 revenue, is that your question?
Yes.
I wish I have that crystal ball at the moment. You know, our endeavor is to see growth in financial year 24 over 23 for sure, and we are working towards it. But to pin a number at the moment may be harder for me. You know, 3 months from now, I may be in a slightly better situation to predict. It's a bit difficult for me to pick a number for now.
Okay, I understand that. I was trying to understand that in what can be the max revenue at the current raw material, not exactly what you are guiding for 24. Just trying to understand with the current capacity that we have, what can be the max revenue for F24.
So I don't want to, confirm a number given the market dynamics and situation, right? Our endeavor would be to do as much as possible. Raw material prices are not the determinant at the moment. While it helps us from a cost standpoint, it's really market demand which is a factor. And that in turn is a factor of economy and several other situations out there. My best guess is that things should start looking up in the second half and we should start seeing good traction. The pace of growth, etc., will determine, how much we can grow in FY24. It's a bit hard at this moment, at the start of FY24, to pin a number on percentage growth. In a normal year, I would have been very, very confident to say that, we will always do about 20%. But this year, it's a bit harder to pick a number, given that most of our customers are a bit unsure of how they're going to buy in the very short term.
Okay, sir. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Rahul Mishra from RTL Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, for the opportunity again. My question is, one of the most important thing about Gokaldas is the ASPs and kind of product mix we have. And we are primarily in woven, and most of the knit guys have much lower ASP and product mix is really not that great. So with addition of knit, how would our product mix and ASPs would change? And would it also make our margin or demand slightly more volatile as compared to where we are right now? And once the full capacity ramp up happens, whenever in F24, 25, 26, what would be the breakdown between knit and woven in terms of revenues?
So let me answer the second question first. When the knit business fully ramps up, my expectation is knits will be anywhere between 10 to 15% of total revenue. Wovens will still constitute to be a majority of our revenue, and hence, the impact on our overall ASP may not be as much. Knits will have its own set of characteristics, and remember, knits we are backward integrated as well into fabric, so the EBITDA margin percentages may look different, may even be superior because of backward integration. But that said, I would think that NITS's ability to impact ASP may be lower because of its lower contribution.
Okay. See, in woven we have really high, outerwear and probably higher end products. So in knit also there is higher end products, or it is more about t-shirts and all the, those kind of things?
So of course there are higher end products in knits, and those are more like the athleisure products. Unfortunately, most people in India do not do that because the fabric ecosystem doesn't exist. Synthetic knits are not available in India, and that's why China, Vietnam and even Indonesia are producers of those higher value knits. Since we will also be in cotton knits, it is likely to be the regular product. Within that segment, we will try to be as premium as possible, given our customer base.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Manish Sehgal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, so I just wanted to understand, the first dividend has been paid out after a long time. Do you have any policy put in place for that? Given the cash flows have been quite decent and we do plan to invest, but not that much in terms of capacity addition.
So we did have a deliberation at the board about this, and we thought that since we are generating adequate cash in the business, we would like to start by giving dividend. We would, in a normal course, we would like to maintain this trajectory. We will look at the business conditions as well as our investments going forward, but that's where we are at the moment.
Okay, thank you. That was my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for listening to us and asking questions. We are happy to engage with our investors in full transparency and discuss our business prospects, and we continue to do that. We, while the market conditions are, you know, somewhat unknown at the moment, given the macroeconomic situation, we continue to explore ways to improve our operational efficiency and thereby hold on to our margins. There are certain headwinds which challenge us in terms of cost structures, in terms of pricing, etc. But we are doing our best to offset it. As I had mentioned, that in a steady state, we would like to continue our 20% plus kind of growth trajectory, and we would like to work on a 1.5% EBITDA improvement. This road may take a little longer given the current market conditions, but we will get back on that trajectory as soon as possible, as soon as the market permits us to do so. We are cautiously optimistic about how the market situation will improve. I believe that come the third quarter, which is when we will be producing for calendar 24, we should start seeing improved traction. It's also an election year in principal markets, both US and UK. So we should hopefully have the economy perform a bit better in an election year. We will see how things evolve. But we are very opportunistic, and we will work with our customers and not let go any opportunity to seek growth which become available to us. Thank you for your support to Gokuldas. We will remain committed to driving business performance as we go forward. Thank you one and all.
Thank you. On behalf of Gokuldas Exports Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.